Abundant Life Ministries, where lives are changing. Our pastor, Zinzalay R. Legend, brings you this message. Follow her on Twitter at MyPastorLegend and like Abundant Life Ministries, WLAC, on Facebook. Be blessed.
In all things, God works together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Lord, we just thank you so much and we praise you for your spirit is in this house right here and right now. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to be in your presence. And now, Lord, we need a word from you. We have worshiped you, we have glorified you, and we have magnified you, made you bigger in this house. And now, Lord, all we ask in return is that you give us a word. Speak to your people a life-changing, mind-altering, renewing word that can only come from on high. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Counting these things as done, let the men and women of God say amen. Amen. The devil is busy, isn't he? He is busy all the time, always doing something. You know the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, don't you? You know the devil comes to divide and conquer. He desires to sift us as wheat, and he desires to keep us distracted so that our focus will not be on the Lord. He desires to completely remove us from the right relationship with God in order that we begin to trust in him over the Lord. And you know the devil is a liar. He, in fact, is the father of lies, and there is no truth in him. Did you know that about the devil? Did you know that about your enemy? Because you see, what he tries to do is he tries to make people believe that he doesn't even exist. That's one of his favorite ploys. If he can get you to believe he don't even exist, then he already got you. He likes people that are saved to believe they can lose their salvation. You know, he got preachers preaching that. He got pastors believing that. He got entire denominations in bondage to a lie. He desires to destroy us. But if he can't destroy us, he will distract us, or he will depress us, or he will diminish the power within us through our own ignorance. I'm trying to tell you this morning that the devil has a trap set, family. The devil has a trap set. Today I'm going to be coming to you from the theme, it's a setup. It's a setup. I don't know if you know what a setup is, but by the time I get through with this, you're going to know exactly what a setup is and who, in fact, is setting you up. We in stewardship all year long, family, learning how to be wise managers of somebody else's belongings, affairs, finances. And today we're going to be focusing on being a good steward or manager over our own righteousness, over our right relationship with God. We're going to be in the book of Genesis. We're going to take it back to the beginning. Is that all right? Sometimes we got to get in touch with our historical roots in order to understand where we are and where we're going. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. By this time, God has created the heavens and the earth. By this time, there was livestock and insects and all other kind of manners of living on the earth. He just created Adam, and from the rib of Adam, he created Eve. They were living in a place called the Garden of Eden. And I don't know if you know much about the Garden of Eden, but it was a sacred, holy, consecrated place that was set apart for God's special creatures. They enjoyed living there because they didn't have any worries, no fears, no cares, no concerns in the world. They were without fault. Without blemish. Has it been set up? Chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to go from verses 1 to verses 7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God. Don't you like that? The Lord God. The Lord God. See, some of y'all thought that was a traditional kind of thing that the black folk like to say. But Moses said the Lord God had made. The serpent was more crafty. You know, crafty is manipulative. Crafty is intelligent, but doesn't work it towards the greater good. When we crafty, we got designs to do evil. Yeah, we got schemes against other folk and what have you. And the Lord created the serpent to be more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. So why wouldn't the devil choose the serpent to come into? It wouldn't have worked quite as well if he had come into a cow. He might not have been able to influence as much if he was a cow. The devil used the serpent. And he said to the woman, back in the word, y'all with me? Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? So he calling God a liar right from the gate. He questioning what God said. Careful. Letting other folk question what God done said to you. Did God really say? Now see, the serpent was listening. The devil was listening when God was giving Adam and Eve the instructions. You know anything about ear hustling? Where don't nobody know you right there, but you in the cut and you just taking it all in. He was ear hustling in on the conversation between God and Adam and Eve. But how many of you know God already knew he was ear hustling? Put a pin in that. Did he really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now see, what happens is when we get into a conversation with the devil, he's got us. He more crafty than we are. He more intelligent than we are. He been around longer than we have. So if we get to trying to have a conversation, if we give the devil an ear, he's got us. If you don't believe me, let's read on. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent. Now see, that was her first mistake. But she innocent. She holy. They didn't tell her it was going to be evil in the garden. That's how God created her. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Satan knew that she could eat of any and every tree in the garden. Thousands of trees in the garden. Small trees, big trees, peach trees, apple trees, all kind of trees in the garden. And all the trees had fruit that you could eat from. And God said, just this one tree out of all of these trees is the one tree you can't eat from. It's the one tree. Because, see, it was a tree in the garden called the tree of life, and they could eat from that tree, and they would have eternal life. This was the only tree that God said you can't eat from. Does that sound familiar to you? All the single men in the world, but somebody got to be with a married man. All the single men in the world, but you got to have a married man. He said, you can have this one, this one, this one, and this one, but you can't have that one. But now you got to have that one. That's how temptation will do you. He said, if you eat of it, you will surely die. Verse 4, you will not surely die. There go the devil disputing what God done said. Why do we listen to the devil over God sometimes? God makes himself plain. He ain't no trickster. He gonna let you know what you can and cannot do, where you should and should not go. And we decide we want to listen to some other voice because it appeals to our senses. It appeals to the desires of the flesh. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, see, this is how he perverts everything. Because, see, that's what the devil does. He perverts everything. He turns it into the opposite of what it really is. Yes, God did say that if they ate of it, they would die. And that eating of it would give them the knowledge of good and evil. But they didn't know that that was going to lead them to being banished from Eden, from the garden. But the devil is setting it up like it's a good thing and like you can be like God, and God just didn't want you to know that you could be like him, as if God is insecure or something. As if God is concerned that somebody gonna take his place. I need you to understand something, that God did create the heavens and the earth and the world in 7 days, but we don't know what 7 days looks like to God. It could have been 7 billion years. Every year could have been a day for all we know, because God created the serpent and he created Lucifer, who was cast down to the earth before Adam and Eve even got there. All right? It's a setup. It's a setup. So the devil is trying to convince Eve through appealing to her senses that it's okay to eat of this fruit because it's going to be of benefit to you. You will be better than you already are. You know them get rich quick schemes that don't work, but people like to believe that they work. I know some people that have spent their entire lives running behind a dollar and about to die broke because they listening to the serpent tell them that you can get this if you just do that. Verse 6 says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Uh-oh. She saw that it was pretty fruit. She saw that the fruit tasted good, and she desired additional wisdom. Wisdom she didn't even know anything about until the serpent introduced it to her. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her. Adam was standing right there watching Eve have the conversation with the serpent. He was created to be the head of the household. Why was he so tight-lipped? Why he didn't have nothing to say about it? It wasn't no other talking animals in the garden. Why is this one talking? Isn't there something strange about a talking snake? But you just gonna sit up and let your woman talk to this animal and let her be convinced to eat the one tree out of all these other trees all around that God said, do not eat. I don't know, but Adam was being a punk. And you know he goes on to blame the woman, but a lot of people leave out that he was standing right there at the time. And Eve wasn't no better because she went blaming the serpent. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. In an instant, everything changed. They didn't used to look at their genitalia as something dirty or something lustful. But as soon as they yielded to temptation, everything looked different. Now I'm naked. I gotta cover myself. Their spiritual eyes were opened and they knew the difference between good and evil. And they realized that it was within themselves. They didn't think of their bodies as evil or wicked or lustful until they ate what God told them not to eat. Sometimes we just need to obey God, even if we don't understand God. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If we don't resist him, we're going to yield to the temptation, because don't you know the devil brings the irresistible? And he don't bring no generic universal irresistibilities. He brings what's irresistible to you. He been watching you. He knows what you like. He knows who you like. He knows what brings you pleasure. He knows what makes you scared. He knows exactly what to put in front of you so that you will have a hard time resisting. Because everything in your body wants what the devil done put in front of you. And if you ain't operating in enough Holy Ghost, you're going to yield. You're going to fall into that dark, sinful place where you don't like the way you look. You're going to regret it. Any child of God is going to regret sin at some point in time. It might feel good right then, but then once you get past that moment of passion or gluttony or indulgence, there's regret. We wish we hadn't done it. Next time, we not gonna do it. Next time, he ain't gonna come the same way. You got more than one thing that's irresistible to you. And he knows each and every one. Matter of fact, he know better than you do. Because he making his business to set you up to be destroyed. That's what he's in the business of doing. It's a setup, family. I'm trying to tell you, it's a setup. The devil has a plan to destroy our lives, and he is far beyond where we think and act like he is, because he's operating in the spirit, so we can't necessarily see him until it begins to be manifested in the flesh. But don't you know that he will plant a seed in our mind and wait for it to bear fruit in our behavior? Because see, if he can just turn our mindset around, then he's got the behavior that's going to come behind it. Because if we thinking that's what we going to do, he takes the path of least resistance. He don't want to work hard. He just wants to try to bring everybody that he can along with him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There's some key things that we need to know about this devil. But you know, there's some key things that we need to know about this God. There's some key things that we need to know about this God, because we need to be able to look behind the devil and see God. Because the devil can't do nothing that God didn't already say it's okay to do. Do you understand that God is the writer, the producer, and the director of this movie? And if he didn't want Adam and Eve to fall out of the garden, that would not have happened. He set that up. He set it up so that he would have a creation that was not like the angels that can't do nothing but praise him. He wanted a creation that would choose to praise him. I mean, think about it for a minute. God is eternal. He's always existed. He might get bored with the same old praise and worship. After a few billion years, you might get tired of the angels singing the same old holy, holy, holy. So he decided to create something that would choose to praise him. And we would be so individual, we could praise him in our own way. It's a setup. It's a setup. Three things we need to understand about the God that we serve today. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. And he's omnipresent. God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Don't worry, I'm going to break them down if you ain't never heard them words before. God is everywhere at once. That's what omniscient is. That's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. There's nowhere that we can go to flee from his presence. We can't go high or deep or wide and escape the presence of God. He's in the crack house. He in the whole house. He in the graveyard. He's in the hospital. He's in your house. He's in your car. He's in your business. There ain't nowhere we can go to flee from the presence of God. It doesn't matter how much darkness there is on a particular street you drive on. You look for God, he's there. Even if you have to look inside of yourself, even if the only God that is present is the God that is within you, God is omnipresent. God is omnipotent, all powerful. He's got all power in his hand. There's no one that can defeat God. There's no one that can make God fall subject to them. There's no will that stands above the will of God. God might have a perfect will where he desires us to act right, but even when we ain't got no act right, it's still according to his will, because he's God. He know you're going to mess up. He know you're going to slip, trip, and fall, and he knows the exact time, date, and second that it's going to happen. This is not a chaotic creation. God created this universe with order. And when we decide that we're not going to believe that every moment has already been accounted for in the mind of God, then we've minimized the God that we serve. God is bigger than everything that we can ever hope, think, or imagine. That's why it's so dangerous to put him in a box. That's why it's so dangerous to minimize him. That's why it's so dangerous to think he ain't got full control over everything and everybody. Don't get it twisted today, family. Don't leave here believing the lie that your free will supersedes his will. We only have free will because we don't understand what the consequences of our decisions are going to be. But because he's God, omnipotent, he knows. He's all powerful, and he will have the victory at every single turn. And he's omniscient. God that knows everything. And you know these three omnis, they all kind of go intertwined with the Lord. He is omniscient. He knows everything before it ever happened. He knows the number of every hairs on your head. He knows the exact moment in time that you are going to give up the ghost. He knows if you're going to lose weight this year. He knows if you're going to quit smoking this year and exactly when and how. He knows who you're going to sleep with next week. He knows the temptation you're going to resist, reflecting on this word today. He knows everything. There's nothing that can escape the mind of God that has been created. And everything except God has been created. He's omniscient. He has all the wisdom. And the good news is his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his omnipresence dwells on the inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. We're not omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, but we got a deposit of all of that in here, which means we got a resource that we can turn to when we don't know what to do. See, a child of God shouldn't be indecisive. We might need to be contemplative or pensive. We might need to think about something and pray about something. But we ought to be strong decision makers, because the Holy Ghost will guide us to making every decision. I'm still trying to tell you, family, it's a setup. It's a setup, and the devil been busy in this house. He been real busy. He been trying to make people sick to keep us distracted from the power of God. He's been trying to take loved ones away from us. He's been doing all kind of crazy things. And yet God is setting it up as well. We got to be clear about who's really in control. Because you see, the devil don't really have a setup. He just have a trap set. There's a difference. But God has a setup. And you need to understand that everything that happens in the course and the history of humanity has been preordained by God. That's why it really is once saved, always saved. Because you were saved in the spirit before you got saved in that body. We got to take the limits off of our perceptions of God. We got to start believing in a bigger God. We got to start letting God swell up in our lives in order that he might be bigger than the devil. Some of us have made the devil bigger than God in our lives. It's time to flip it. Take the limits off of God and place the limits on the devil. Because he's not omniscient, omnipotent, or omnipresent. He just got a whole lot of demons running around keeping him informed about what we're doing. There's a difference. And there's some places inside of our sanctified selves that the devil cannot go. But if it ain't enough sanctification in us, the devil gonna run amok in our lives. Sanctification, tried by fire, coming out as pure gold, understanding that Jesus really is the way, wanting to live our lives in order to please him. We've been through something, and we know that we can depend on him. I'm telling you, family, he's been setting you up all this time. All that pain that you went through in your early years growing up, all that abuse you had to suffer and endure, all them people that did you wrong, all that pain, don't you know that was set up for your ministry? We can't minister to somebody if we ain't never been through nothing. Do you want a preacher that can't relate to your situation and your circumstance? God has been setting you up all your life for your ministry so that you can minister to others that have been through what you've been through or still going through what you've been through. But it's the devil that'll try to keep you ashamed of your experience, try to keep you sitting in your seat behind what happened to you, make you feel like you deserve to not be able to stand up and say something on behalf of God because you embarrassed. We wouldn't have no testimonies if somebody ain't been through a test. God has a ministry that he's been setting up in you. And it's time for the family of God to rise up and walk in the ministry that you've been called to. Somebody in here has been set up to be a doctor. Somebody in here has been set up to be a lawyer. Somebody in here has been set up to be a preacher. Somebody in here has been set up to be a teacher. Somebody in here has been set up to be a healer. Somebody is in here has been set up to be a prophet. Somebody in here has been set up to be the mayor. Somebody in here has been set up to be the mayor of Oakland. Somebody in here has been set up to be a senator. But until we walk in the setup that God has in our lives, we're going to continue to minimize his power, his presence, and his knowingness in our lives. Family, we ought to be thankful today. We ought to be thankful today that God set it up for us, that he is preparing us for our future. To be set up is to be prepared for something. And we got a whole lot of tomorrows that we got to live. Look at your situation. Look at your circumstance. Just look at it. What you being set up for right now? Don't you know the bigger the trial, the greater the reward? I know you're going through something, but you hold on. God's going to see you through. He's got a plan for you. He's got a reward for you. He's called the people in this house to touch lives, to change lives, to rock worlds, to blow minds. But we can't do it if we're scared, if we're ashamed, if we're sitting on being embarrassed about our failings. Believe in a bigger God today. Stomp on the devil's head. Put the devil under your feet and know that God loves you and that he's got something good in store for you. You being set up, family. Hold on. Don't give up. Don't give in. Believe in him. And know that he will make a way for you. Hallelujah.